to the Christadelphian Classics podcast, brought to you by Wilderness Voice, Principles and Proverbs by Islip Collier, Part 1, Principles, Chapter 9, Ploughing and Looking Back. No man, having put his hand to the plough and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. A few weeks ago, in a time of transit troubles, a brother who earns his daily bread as a ploughman started to walk to the Sunday morning meeting. This involved a tramp of 9 miles, and but for the kindly forethought of another brother who drove out to meet him, he would have had to walk the entire distance. After the meeting, he quite unconsciously presented me with this article neatly packaged up in a single sentence. Speaking of the words quoted at the head of the chapter, he said, "Only a ploughman can understand those words in their full meaning. While he keeps his eyes fixed on the mark at the other side of the field, he can plough a straight line. But if he looks back, even for a second, he misses the mark and the line grows crooked." This presented a new thought in connection with a well-known figure of speech. I'd always thought of the looking back as meaning the wandering of desire toward old associations and old ambitions. The full meaning seemed to be that when once a man is enlightened and starts to work for Christ, there must be no tardiness and dragging of feet. If he tires of the work and desires to return to his former darkness, he's not fit for the kingdom of God. The ploughman, with his technical knowledge and experience, sees a deeper meaning. He must have no doubt as to the object at the end of his line, and he must keep his eyes riveted on the distant mark. If he loses sight of that, even for a moment, his ploughing is spoiled. It has been suggested that in the East, 2,000 years ago, ploughing was only a primitive scratching of the ground in which the straight furrow would not be of much importance, and that consequently, we should not draw from the figure of speech a meaning based on modern methods. This is not a valid objection, however, if the meaning drawn is helpful. In dealing with ordinary writers, we must certainly keep our interpretation of their work within the limits and practice of the time when it was written. Ordinary writing is very soon out of date, and the figures of speech are often unintelligible. It's different with the Bible. It comes from God. It is never out of date, and it reveals prescience in so many matters that we need not be surprised if even its metaphors suit the modern world better than the ancient. If the servants of God find help from a possible meaning of Scripture, the helpful thought was there even though no one saw it for 2,000 years. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Surely the thought we're considering is a helpful one. It's not enough that we should keep our desires from wandering back to the world. Like the ploughman, drawing out his first furrow, we must keep our eyes on the distant mark. If we lose sight of our final objective, either by looking back at our own past history or by too critical a survey of other men's ploughing, our line will certainly not be straight. We shall help our fellow ploughmen more by setting an example of good work than by shouting at them. And surely our desire is to help. The use of the phrase final objective suggests a further extension of the figure. The skillful ploughman may be able to draw a straight line to the single object on which his eyes are fixed. The beginner needs further help and often finds it necessary to put a series of marks all in line. This is the principle of the limited objective, the value of which has been demonstrated repeatedly. instead of having only the one ideal, which may sometimes seem so far removed from human frailty that progress is impossible, we have a series of limited objectives, all in line with the final goal and leading to it. The inexperienced ploughman can, in this way, maintain a straight line. For him, the limited objectives are necessary. In the absence of such aids, he might unconsciously waver to right or left, even though his eyes were fixed firmly on the final mark. And all the while, there is the danger of a momentary lapse, a glance to the right or left, even though he does not look back. A very little distraction may spoil the work of the inexperienced ploughman. With the limited objectives to assist him, the work is easier. He can see the final mark with the minor marks all in line with it. And as the stages are successively reached and passed, there is a consciousness of progress along the true line. In ploughing for Christ, we are none of us experts. We all need the help we can find to keep the line straight, and the principle of the limited objective leading to the final goal is of vital importance for us. Christ has provided us with some of these aids. In the liberty we have in Christ, it is possible to find many more. In our meetings, our reading and writing, in the more private efforts, which we only mention to the closest friends, and in mental struggles, which we perhaps do not mention to any man, we have limited objectives. If we've planned our work well, these waymarks help us. There should be no mistake as to the final ambition of life, but we need some minor ideals to lead us to it. If the Lord delays his coming, what are our immediate objectives for this year, this month, this week, and this day? Let us here note that apart from the very clear instructions given in the Bible, we have liberty. We can set our own marks. It is no part of our duty to mark out the furrows for other ploughmen, although it is assuredly Christ-like to help them when we can. But while we are in a large measure at liberty to choose our own waymarks, when once they are chosen, it's obviously the right thing to observe them. When the ploughman has marked out his course, he's surely foolish or a careless man if he ignores the marking. We're not bound by any human devised system of reading scriptures, but if we decide that a certain system will be helpful to us, surely it would be foolish if we fail to maintain it. Beyond the general warning not to neglect the assembly of the saints, we have no scriptural rule as to the number of meetings we should attend. In some towns, where there is a meeting of some kind almost every night, it might not be wise to attend each one. When we have made our choice, however, as to what meetings will help us, it is part of true workmen to be as regular in our observance as circumstances will permit. The writing of this article has been interrupted by attendance at a weeknight meeting. It was a helpful meeting and can surely rank as a true limited objective in the straight line for the kingdom of God. A fortnight ago, I missed the meeting with no better excuse than a complete forgetfulness until it was too late. The activities which drove it from the mind were healthful and good in themselves, but that does not alter the fact that a limited objective was missed. The ploughman had set up a stake a little way ahead to keep his line true, and then he forgot all about it. The most serious feature of such a lapse is that it prepares the way for further lapses. That is how brethren go astray. Whoever heard of one who, having once been enlightened, turned away merely as the result of a careful examination of the truth? We never knew one of Christ's ploughmen to gaze straight ahead and decide the final objective was not worthwhile. He begins to waver through us missing perhaps the least important of the limited objectives. Thus, he may set up marks of his own that are not in line with the final object. presently when he looks ahead, there is no final object visible, and he may soon be persuaded that there never was one. His line has deviated, and he is looking in the wrong direction. Perhaps there was a time in the Brotherhood when we were too little prepared for the prolongation of mortality. It seemed unnecessary to prepare much for battling with a world that was so soon to pass. We're nearer to the end now, but there is much more education in worldly wisdom. Sometimes, while older brethren are overworked, the young ones are too busy to render assistance. Special studies, the passing of examinations, the securing of necessary degrees, these are all limited objectives, and unfortunately the final object to which they stand related is limited too. But although these ambitions bounded by mortality are not the most obvious guides to the kingdom of God, there is no reason why they should lead anyone astray. Keep them all in the true line, and they may even be used as helps. Here is a rule for all of us to observe. We're sure to have objects in mortal life in things not essential, but not forbidden. Not the one thing needful, but still free from offence, so long as they are kept within their proper place. We may desire to pass an examination, or to improve the home, or to give our children a better chance at the world than we had ourselves. These are all limited objectives. Let us take care that we keep them all in the true line, so that even if they fail to help us, they will not hinder. Sometimes, progress is stopped by doubts as to what shall be the next objective. Shall we start on a great work, and if so, what shall it be? Shall we study a special part of Scripture, such as the law of Moses, and master that? Shall we make ourselves acquainted with original languages to enlarge our understanding of the Word? It's necessary sometimes to weigh such questions in our minds, but we must not allow too much time to be lost through such cogitations. The time during which the amateur ploughman marks out his course is not productive. The plough may be still, but time is on the wing, and the day will soon be over. We must not delay our work by hesitating between a number of objects, all of them equally good waymarks. What would be the thought of the ploughman who wasted half of the morning trying to decide between the merits of a stick and a white stone as marks for his straight line? Quite a lot might be urged in favour of either mark. The stick in vertical position, rising from the ground, would surely be better than any flat object. On the other hand, the white stone would shine better than any stick. Which shall it be? If a man could be so foolish as to hesitate and hinder with such a problem, we'd explain, use either, use neither, or use both. But whatever you do, don't waste time over it. We cannot imagine a ploughman being so foolish, but on the higher plane, men often waste half their lives trying to decide between the merits of possible activities. They take these limited objectives too seriously. The excuse of such aids is that they are known to be limited. The final objective is immeasurably greater. If the ploughman puts up minor marks of such prominence as to obscure his view of the final mark, they hinder him instead of helping. The best marks are those that lie near to hand and to which we can apply ourselves immediately. Even apart from the waste of time involved in the search for more remote objectives, it often happens that when they're found, they're less helpful than the little duties that were near to us. Many men are like a ploughman who should waste half the available time in searching for hedge stakes in a distant field in order that he might mark out his straight line in a worthy manner. Having found at last the objects that please him, he then sets them up without caring about the straight line. He loses sight of the distant mark and spends the remnant of his little day zigzagging after objects that should have been merely a means to an end. In all things, consider the end. We must never lose sight of the end, even for a moment, in ploughing our furrow that leads to the kingdom of God. When we set up limited objectives to help us, we must always remember that they are limited. Our ploughman brother who suggested these thoughts does not need the waymarks when he sets out the work for his ploughing in the literal field. With no guide but a mark in the distant hedge, doubtless he can draw a line straighter than most of us could plough, even with stakes set up every few yards of the way. In the ploughing for Christ, however, we're more on a level and we all need waymarks to help us. When he set off to walk to the morning meeting, the ploughman was aiming at a limited objective in the straight line for the kingdom of God. 9 miles seems a long tramp only to reach a waymark, and with the possibility that there may be 100 more of such marks before the end. When we consider the end, however, we can see the matter in its true proportions. At the end of mortality's day, if the line has been drawn straight and true, there will be something more to show than a well-ploughed furrow across a field, and the goal reached will be very different from a mark in the hedge.